Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Well, that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rocket Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rocket Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your weekly three-hour get-together. We bring you the news, biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And I'm having a little technical difficulty, folks, so bear with me a minute. I am trying to get the video on the screen right now. I just don't know why, for pressure. So hang in there a minute. Let me see if I can get it up here, right? I don't know. Okay, let's see now if I can slide it. I can't slide it over there. Let's see if I can do this and then slide it over. There you go. There you go. There we go.
Silence.
Listen, these lovey-lovey homies, something wrong. He turns it upside down. There is no one around, so where has she gone? His face faces proud. Where has she gone? She has his old heart and left with it. What a mad betray. Terrified, she pleads to save herself. The last time she made a shallow mistake, came a little late. His punishing hands burn her skin. She can never forget. Where is he now? Where is she safe? Look over her shoulder all the time. But is it too late? Did it all go wrong? She's grieving and alone. What happened to love? She cannot settle. Her different from tonight. Will he really take her life? Apologize, is it time to run for your life? Does freedom away? Will he be tortured by the angelic devil? He's everything to him, the golden age, screaming and basking in his vengeance. You are right, only mine.
He got away, but so in chains. He will always be just a few less steps away. Even when she sleeps, she must away. He's a filthy nightmare. Tell her she's crazy when her neck is bruised by his furious hands. Do not let the doubt take over. He was not an illusion. He's the bloody poison!
No one sees the visible scar. The color flows through.
Well, and that was from, that's Behind Closed Doors from the band Pressure, our good friends out of Sweden. And thank you to the whole band, Ali and Simon and Olaf and everybody for letting us premiere that. And again, thank you to Sam Bone for setting it up a little last minute, but nothing wrong with that either right here. So guys, welcome to another edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show live from High Top Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your 3-hour weekly get together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And thanks for joining us this week, folks. Lots to get to, lots to talk about, lots of doing sports and music. I'll give you a quick rundown. I'm going to get Jeff on. My pops is on, but a little different this week. So we're going to get him on quick. We'll talk about the NFL schedule again. Rangers come back, win the down 3-1 in the series against the Penguins. Fight back, win the series 4-3 in an exciting overtime. And but unfortunately lost last night's game for opening first round of the semis against the Carolina Hurricanes. Good hockey game. A little disappointing. We'll talk about that more later. Drew Brees is done at NBC. Rich Strikes won't run in the Preakness. Yankees, the best team in baseball, probably. Spinal Tap sequel, we'll get a little more on that. Antonio and Pac-Man Jones ripped Colin Kaepernick. Ric Flair to return to the ring. We'll get Jeff's take on that. What are the Browns waiting for with Baker Mayfield? Joe Judge could call plays for the Pats. Ricky Dragon Steamboat, Judas Priest, Paul Deano, James Bradbury, the Jets, and so much more when we kick off this two-and-a-half-hour weekly get-together with the show. So let's not hang in there too long. Let's get my partner in crime, Mr. Jeff Talwinski, on the line. Folks, just to tell you all, this is Jeff and my 540th episode of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Pretty lofty. Not many shows make it this far, Jeff.
Not many shows in real networks don't make it this far.
That's very true. But Jeff, let's do the show. Let's get it started right. Jeff, how was your week?
What an incredible week it's been.
Okay, now let's hold up a second. When you say incredible good?
It took forever. I don't even know if it's really over.
Well, the week technically is not over. I know it's the end of your work week. You're off for a couple of days now, as you normally would be. It's close. I guess with the end of the show, you can put this week in the rear burner and the back burner, I should say, and move on to a nice weekend with your lovely bride.
I think I did that on Sunday night.
You did?
I just cashed it in. Fuck it.
Well, it's not a bad thing once in a while.
But it's just a very long week.
I hear you. I agree. It was a rough start to today for me, but I'm full of energy. I see the hat. Looks good. I do want to get to some Jet stuff tonight. I got a couple things for the Jets.
But, you got something big tonight.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, I want to get to everything. Spinal Tap. We got a lot of wrestling tonight, which I know is always a good thing in the show. I want to get to all that, but I got a surprise. Look at you. Big. That's big. He's got a lot packed up in that brain. The Jets have officially signed their entire first round draft, which is a good thing. And I do want to talk about Joe Douglas. We got a guest coming up at 7:45. Mikey V from the band Chains Over Razors will be joining Jeff and I for a few minutes. I got a special treat, Jeff. He's on every week with us, my dad. But this week, we think we've solved the video problem that he's had in the past. And my dad is going to be joining us right now via live stream. So let's see how this goes, Jeff. You ready?
All right. Let's see what happens.
What's up,
hey,
Pop?
Jeff. What's up?
Oh, look at that. I can hear you now.
Hey, I can see you now.
What's going on? How are you?
Not much. Good. How you doing?
Good.
I like
It's true. He hasn't seen you in person in a long time, so it's true.
I haven't seen you in a couple of years.
Yeah, so.
During the pandemic and probably the last
time. Wow.
Tommy's party.
Yeah.
It was after that.
I think, let's see. I would think maybe it was after that, but definitely for sure either my parents' anniversary, which you were at, their 50th,
right.
My 50th birthday,
right.
which Jeff, I don't think has much memory of my birthdays.
That's true, Jeff. I have to admit that.
I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that.
I would definitely say Jeff had the best time of anybody at that party, including myself.
You can remember it.
If you can only remember what he did.
I remember a few things.
But so, Pop, we got you all fixed up. Now you're going to be a weekly video guy. So what's on your mind this week?
Well, I was watching the Yankee game today. And,
uh-huh.
Again, very disappointed in Joey Gallo. It seems like everybody feels the same way. And I don't know. I mean, you could see what his problem is. All you have to do is pitch him a little bit high and throw the outside because he's a natural-born home run hitter with the uppercut swing. Unless he can get under that ball, he's not going to hit it. And they just keep – and he's not even doing that great in the field either. So I don't...
I think right now there's not much options. I mean, Hicks has been horrendous. I think he's in a 2-for-38 or 2-for-40 slump right now. So Hicks is not the answer. Torres is killing it. Judge is killing it. Stanton's been good. LeMayu's been LeMayu. I mean, they're getting enough hitting and plenty of pitching, which, by the way, Pop, I did tell you before the season, I like their pitching staff.
I have to agree with you. I didn't agree with you in the beginning of the season, but I'll be honest with you, if their bottom third of the batting order wasn't playing as good hitting and fielding, they'd be in a lot of trouble.
Listen, kind of Falefa's been really good. We got some hitting out of the catching spot. Torres has been really good. I mean, look, this is a good team. I mean, they're 28-10, 28-29-10. I mean, this is a good baseball team, Jeff, right now, the Yankees.
Second best record in Major League Baseball last time I looked.
It's right there with the Dodgers. They're right there. So, I mean, they're definitely, to me, I would say this, Brian Cashman was ridiculed all offseason, and basically he's having the last laugh at this moment. So
I don't know. And then I started watching the Met game.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. They're still getting hit with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they remind me of Joe Torre. They're not retaliating.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's going to really get hit. They threw out Alonso today.
Oh, yeah.
His head. And somebody's going to get hurt unless somebody does something about it. I don't know. In the old days, you'd go out to the mound and wait for the pitcher to come up and take him, but you have to do something.
Oh, I mean, listen. The Mets are playing well. They're winning every series themselves, or splitting the last one, I think it was. But DeGrom's not coming back anytime soon. Now Scherzer's out 6 to 8 weeks. This team will be tested now. This team will be tested. To see if the rest of the staff can keep up. So we'll see. But you're right that at some point you got to try to defend them. Otherwise, somebody's going to get one in the ear and they're not going to get up from it.
It's going to be Alonso. That's their the backbone of their team, right?
Sure.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Defensively, I think he's pretty good. He's not anything special, but hitting wise. Can't take it away from him.
Nope.
He's got that power, and he's learning to control himself.
Yep.
And I think he's a good. I take back what I thought of him.
Yeah. Again, I still don't put him in the category of a great player. I think he's a really good, maybe even a great offensive player, but he's a very subpar defensive player. And but again, a guy you got to worry about when he comes up in the lineup for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
So
hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Tell me what you think so far of the Jets, the signings.
I think they did very good. I think both teams did pretty good for themselves. I think there's a couple questions about the Giants signings more so than the Jets. Why they would take another receiver, especially one on the small side. And Thibodeau, if he works out, is going to be a great signing. I just would worry about a lot of the things I heard about him. As far as the Jets signings go, it's the Jets, so the bottom could fall out at any time. We know that. They could end up getting the worst people that they could imagine. But I think they're onto something this year. Everything I read still has them ranked like 28th or 29th out of the league. Nobody's giving them any kind of respect. I think it all hinges on Zach Wilson this year and for this class to really gel. And they could maybe be a 500 team maybe.
Well, it's funny. The over and under in their win total is only 5.5. Now, I know they haven't won a lot of games the last few years, and with the little bit of stride they made last year and what they've done this offseason, I would have thought it would be higher. But, Jeff, do you think that's influenced more so by how strong the conference is and how strong their division is?
There's a lot of things going on with that. The AFC is a pretty strong conference, without a doubt. When is the last time that you ever seen a Jets team take a leap forward? It's somehow, some way, they've actually been taking steps backwards the last couple of years.
Mm.
So I don't think that anybody is going to really believe in them until they show that they deserve to be believed in. So, you know, they need to cash in some of these chips that they got and show that they could play. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. Yeah, I think the Jets have done well on paper. I think Jeff's 100% right. I think they're going to go as far as their young quarterback is, and his maturity is. I just wonder, you know, with the veteran on the bench in Joe Flacco, and with the guy who had a small sampling of good luck last year, let's say in Mike White, I wonder if there's a spot in the season where the Jets are struggling offensively, if they would make that move, or do they suffer another year with the quarterback? I think that's the question I have.
To be honest with you, a lot of people put a lot on quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a decent quarterback, I mean, look at Brady the last couple of years. I mean, what is he doing? I'm not knocking him for anything, but he's throwing 15, 20-yard passes. It's your line. If your line holds up, you can't be covered. It's impossible.
You know, you're right. Yeah, a lot of it has to do with the offensive line. But the quarterback could have – all day long, if he doesn't know what to do with the time, doesn't matter. You know, you bring up Brady. I hate Tom Brady, but I also hate to say the man has, 25 years experience in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, so he knows what to do with that time.
I agree. He can read defenses probably better than most of the coaches can today, because he's seen almost every kind of defense that they play.
Exactly, But he also knows how to plan ahead. I mean, the guy has probably gone through, like you said, every scenario that you could possibly go through in the NFL. Zach Wilson may never get that. His career may not last long enough to go.
The Giants show they can win, that you can win a Super Bowl without a great quarterback. I mean, they won two of them. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Phil Simms, but you wouldn't put him up in the Y.A. Tittle
No.
Johnny Unitas, category. They would see him and the other gentlemen were decent quarterbacks, but they had monstrous defense. And their offensive line was pretty good. Even the Jets, when they won the Super Bowl, don't take anything away from Namath. But Namath had nothing to do with them. It was
the team
that they had.
You're right, but you know something? It was a different game back then, too.
Oh, definitely.
Those teams that you mentioned probably would not be able to – they'd probably be out of the game if they played in today's day and time by half.
I agree. It was easy. I mean, you Lombardi couldn't coach today. Shula couldn't coach today.
Yeah, I think a lot of those guys couldn't coach the way the games played today. I also think a lot of the quarterbacks who played today couldn't play back then because – those guys called their own plays. Those guys, bought in so much that I wonder how many today's quarterbacks, Jeff, could call their entire game themselves and be successful at it.
Probably not very many. Probably some of the older guys, Brady definitely,
mm-hmm.
Roethlisberger if he was still in the league, Rivers maybe Manning,
mm-hmm.
but you got to remember something too. The quarterbacks that played in yesteryear, for lack of a better word, played a more complete game.
Yes.
They had a running game. They had a passing game.
True.
They didn't really rely on one more than the other. Maybe more of a run than a pass back then.
Yep.
It wasn't until Dan Fouts came along that they were really passing the football around, if you remember it right, because Joe Namath set the league record for yardage in a season at 4,007 or 4,002 yards. And it stood for years.
Yes.
Almost 20 years before Dan Marino, I believe, was the first one to break it, or Dan Fouts. One of those two guys broke it first. But, I mean, it took that long to top 4,000 yards. Now they're throwing for over 5,000 yards, closing in. Somebody's going to hit 6,000 one day. I know it.
I would, especially going to 17-game season, I would agree with you. Yeah, I don't think it's that far into the future.
I mean, do you see an 18-game season coming?
Yes. I don't think they're going to – I don't think they went to 8 to 17 to stop there. I think it's going to be 18. I don't know how soon, but I would tell you I do believe there will be 18 games at some point.
I think you're right. The money's there.
Yeah.
They're smart. They start taking it because sooner or later that
it's going to stop. It's not even – and yes, it's the money is the part, but it's the demand for games. I mean, you have games on Amazon, NBC, CBS, you know, NFL Network, ESPN. You know, it's only – you know, it's a short time. You got games, Thursday nights on Amazon, Sunday nights on NBC. There is such a demand for content. They want games now on the day of the Thanksgiving, on that Friday, which is a big college football day. They want a pro game that day on Amazon. So, yeah, I think, guys, you're going to see 18 games in a short time, and I think you're going to see a team outside of this country soon.
I hope not. I don't like the idea of the games going to Europe. And
I agree.
And England on such a regular basis. If you want to do one a year as an exhibition, maybe do a pregame or something. But I think it takes away from the regular season when you send it, two teams from America on the other side of the globe to play a game and then come back and then play. Well, most of the times they give them the bye week after that trip.
Yeah, usually, yes. Unless it's early in the season. Yeah. I know, like the Giants, I believe, have an early season game week five, but their bye is until like after week nine, I think. So
I don't like it, man. I'm not
a big fan of it. The games are on early in the morning. I mean, some people love it. My friend Matt, he loves it. He gets up early in the morning, so from 9:30 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night, that's just pro football on a Sunday.
Listen, there's a lot of things that I don't agree with, and I'm gonna have a question for you guys after this. I just don't like the idea of giving – it's almost like giving the sport games into another country. You know, if it was Canada, it's one thing. If it was Mexico, it's one thing. But now you're talking England, you're talking Germany.
Yep.
I just don't like it. I just don't like it. And another thing I don't like in sports, and I ask you two guys now that the season is a couple months on the way, what do you guys think of the National League not having the having to have the designated hitter? Have you guys seen anything of it? Do you think it impacts the game any differently now?
Yeah, Dad, you take it.
I'm so used to seeing the DH that now that they have it, I don't see, you know, it's the old goes back to, I remember, what was it, Pepsi or Coke changed their formula.
Yeah.
And people were screaming, they were protesting in the street. And when they made them try it, they couldn't tell the difference between one or the other. Anytime you put change into something, you're going to find somebody that's going to yell and scream and jump up and down about it. I don't see anything with it. I like because strategy, listen, you eighth and ninth hitters, you had two almost automatic outs in the National League.
Yeah.
And I get up, you got the bases loaded, and here comes the pitcher. Now, how many times, he's going to, it ain't like years ago where the hitter, the pitcher, some of them were pretty good hitters. I mean, Don Drysdale used to pinch hit for regular players. That's how good of a hitter he was. But I don't see the difference of it.
That was years ago, though. And nowadays, if a guy is 120, sorry about that. I just caught that. I'm sorry about that. But, hey, listen, some of the things we talk about were decades ago, too. So
yeah.
We
go back a little further than your decade.
But even now, a decent hitting pitcher is batting, what, 120, 130?
Yeah, but
– and they're like, that's a decent hitting pitcher.
Yeah.
He's getting less than two hits every 10 at-bats.
You got regular ball players batting in the low 220s and 230s, and they consider that pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be thrown out of the league. You wouldn't be able to get on the field. But today,
I agree. And I think, Jeff, to answer your question, here's the biggest way I'll tell you that the impact the DH has had, nobody's talking about it. Nobody that I've seen, I haven't read any, not one article, not one internet notice, nothing on the internet. And nobody has complained. Nobody's even mentioned that there's no DH in the National League. So I think
I have heard one person. Keith Hernandez.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's too much going on in the world today for anybody to even notice baseball at this point in time, to be honest with you, Bob.
I'm not disagreeing with
rising gas prices, the war, and everything else. Baseball is not what the people need at this point in time. It just doesn't do it for anybody.
Well, you also have, don't forget, right now you're still in the middle of the hockey playoffs, the basketball playoffs, you know, and there are some people paying attention to the USFL. I don't know if you guys have watched much of it, but there's some good games. It's really very competitive. I think the one thing that league needs is some name recognition. They need to steal a couple
of fans.
Well, I think you'll get the fans. You know, here's the problem. So they waited 4 months to start, which I didn't realize at the time. I've heard some people talk about it, and I couldn't agree more. You know, what people wanted was right after the football season was over, for those first 2 or 3 weeks, people were starving for football. You've had that, and they let it pass. Now, next year, the week after the Super Bowl, the XFL gets started.
Wow.
And the XFL is you know, they're playing the same kind of football. They've got some big-name recognition with The Rock being a part of it. And they're going to jump in immediately. And the problem with the XFL is I think they waited too long. But there's some good football being played there. It's legit. And they have some good you know, gimmicky stuff, like listening to the huddles and hearing the coaches talk about the plays. And, you know, it's really pretty cool. The problem is, everybody kind of got tired of football and got away from it and got into other stuff, and now it's hard to get back into it. But I think, Jeff, you're right to your point. There is a lot of stuff going on right now, and it isn't that big news in baseball right now. I mean, the crowds are good, but you're right. The buzz is not there yet, Jeff, and it probably won't start till after the All-Star break. The other sports are done. Football hasn't started yet. I think you'll get some buzz in July.
Listen, the only reason hockey playoffs are relevant at this point in time is because
the Rangers
beat the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes.
And the Rangers are still in it. If they get knocked out, that's it.
Sure.
Just put them to sleep because, I mean, you got teams like Carolina. Nobody gives a shit about them winning.
Right.
Basketball, I couldn't even tell you. I know that the Suns are out. I don't even know who's in the basketball playoffs.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And it is early in baseball and everything, but there's just no buzz. It just doesn't capture people like it once did. It just doesn't. I'm sorry.
No, you got to remember, when baseball was at its biggest peak, other sports weren't there. I mean, you're talking the 70s. Even into the 70s, hockey and basketball were almost extinct at that point.
What is the big thing going on now? Rivaling baseball. Nothing in the sports world. Nothing.
No, I disagree. Again, you got – a lot of people are basketball fans. There's a lot of hockey fans out there. But you're right. Baseball.
Watch what happens with hockey. If the Rangers get knocked out, watch what happens.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying is right now people are – listen, you don't go looking for it. Again, there's no buzz about baseball, but people are watching. There's some good baseball going on right now. It won't catch a buzz until July. And when everything else is quiet, and be honest with you, football's turned into a year-round.
The only thing that's going to be around in July.
Yeah, exactly. But that's my point. And then it'll kick in.
That's why it catches fire. And then even then, who cares?
Well, again, I get your point, but I think baseball needs a storyline. And at some point, it could be Yankees and Mets. I mean, there's a good chance those teams are going to be in the playoffs. There's a halfway decent chance those teams may get to face each other. So I think there's some storylines there, but there really isn't, that newsworthy thing. On a daily basis in baseball yet.
Not going to come out of baseball because it just doesn't have what it once did.
No, you need a big chase. You know, it would be nice if there was a home run chase. You know, somebody was hitting big dingers.
You know what, too, Tommy? You got to realize there's no New York teams. It's not like '69 when Baltimore Bullets and Baltimore Orioles and the Colts. And New York beat them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people outside of the city. I mean, you look at any ball game, but mostly the American League. You go to Baltimore, you go to Chicago. There's a lot of people in the stands with New York uniforms
sure.
on.
Sure, absolutely.
With the shirts. So there are a lot of people. And like Jeff said, once the Rangers get knocked out, look, boom. I mean, you can tell me. I agree with you.
The Rangers. And I'll tell you something else, but before I forget, between the USFL and XFL, comparing those two leagues to the NFL is like comparing the fat girl to the hot girl. The fat girl's going to try hard, but nobody wants her.
You know what, Jeff? I don't disagree with you. Uh-oh.
It's the gimmicks. It's the gimmicks.
Oh, that's me.
I don't think it's three different points and all the different rules that they have. I think it's too much for people to follow.
Again, I think if people gave it a chance, it would catch its good football. It's not like the last league where it was really bad football. They just didn't compete. These guys are playing well. Again, will it ever catch? I don't know. The old USFL was just...